Now for the women.
Okay, the subject is stresses in the family for women. Don't turn over the page. I told the men that I would tell my wife, I would say, don't come in the kitchen now. Okay, so don't turn over the page. Generally, the handouts are so constructed that the things that I want to be clear and that are basic are clear, and the other stuff is you have to have oral interpretation. Well, the first 1A and 1B is the same. Wisdom has two definitions in it. First, you have Rabbi Berman's definition of wisdom is the ability to understand priorities, what's important and what's more important. And the second is my Rebbe's definition, which he says the Rambam's definition, is the ability to understand function. What is something for? What does this have to do with stress? Stress comes when I'm not sure what I need to do. What chore is the right thing to do? Why is it that professionals are not stressed out even in stressful situations? Because they know what to do. When the plane is turning around and around, so if the pilot is seat belted in, so he's not stressed out. He knows what to do. It's when you don't know what to do you get stressed out. A takeoff of that is that when there are so many things that you think you could possibly do, and you have to choose, then you have the competition between, should I do this, should I do that? Over Shabbos we define peace of mind as the ability to push away all the competing voices that are competing for your attention and choose one. Well, a person who has too many choices of what to do, is not sure what to do, will be stressed out. So if you know what your priorities are, if you know what's important and what's more important, and if you know what your function is, what your definition of success is going to be, so then things get narrowed down. And that will take away your stress level. Now you may have heard from me before these two definitions of wisdom, but I do not seek to be a complicated program to run. As I have mentioned in the past, my definition of a good teacher or a good parent is someone who makes himself or herself obsolete as quickly as possible. If I can get you to the point where you can know unerringly what I would say, and therefore you have no need for me, then I'm a success. It's like parents want their children to outlive them. That means my child is going to be on this planet without me. I want him to be able to function on his own. So you'll find, if you listen to me over a period of years, that things keep coming up again and again. It's a different subject, and they say the same thing. It may be dressed a little different. It may be accented a little different. It's the same thing. So after it was, oh, that's all he has to say. And, okay, so like, who needs him? I got him now. I got his program. That's it. It's finished. That's a success. I want to become obsolete. So understand your priorities in life and understand what your function is. For instance, what's the function of a home? What's the function of a mother? You know, on the other side, we had a translation of what's the definition of manliness? Or what is a home? Number three, what is the defined success at work and success at home? What's called success at home? What's the definition? Is it a clean house? Is it well-fed children? Is it a home that's secured? In other words, there's an armed response. I walked home today from the Kollel, walked to the Goldbergs from the Kollel, and there was one place there that had three things in the lawn, telling any prospective visitors there's going to be an armed response. Now, I know someone in Far Rockaway who has in his window, beware of dog. There's no dog in his house. But in Johannesburg, people know that the things, and the same is true for Arabs, the thing they're most afraid of is dogs. They just want to go near dogs. So, I don't know, get a recording of a dog. Or get a big, you know, rock pile. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. If your definition of success is my home is secure, no one can get in, so then you know what to do. If you want to make sure that your kids are physically healthy, and that's your definition of a good mother, so then you'll become an expert nutritionist, and you'll find all ways and means of making sure that they eat healthfully. Depending on what your definition is, what's your priority? What's my function? My function is to raise physically healthy children. So, okay, that's my function. A function of a secular studies teacher is to give a kid the knowledge of the subject that they're teaching and the belief in their ability to learn the subject. Understand? That's their function. They're not trying to teach a way of life, a philosophy. They want you to know the presidents. Yeah? They want you to know A squared, how to figure out, you know, A squared plus B squared. That's their function. The more you know your function, the more you know your definition of what you want your home to look like, your priorities are going to become clear, and you'll be less stressed out. Because the price of too much shouting, or too much uncertainty, or too much tension in the scale of your priorities, so it's too high a price. It's better to have, like I said yesterday, a very uncomplicated Shabbos and no stress in your house. Unless your definition of success is how good your meals are, which is fine with me. I'm not here trying to make you over in my image. But then understand that there's a price. The price is you're going to be stressed out. Or you're going to be preparing for Shabbos from Monday night. Which is also okay if that's your priority. There's some people whose career is their priority. And then the kids, like, they'll basically raise themselves. And that's okay. I'll be a better mother. Okay? And again, I am not going to... I teach in Israel a course called Sugyot B'Hashkafa. Hashkafa subjects. None of the students know my Hashkafas. It's not important. That's what I think. Let's try to figure out how we get through a successful life. So if you want to have, you want to become a neurosurgeon, and it's going to be a certain price. So, fine. But then you don't get stressed out when your husband complains about TV dinners. Didn't you understand that I'm becoming a neurosurgeon, and that's where I'll be a happier person, and I'll be a better wife and a better mother, whatever, the whole nine yards. Yeah? But you try and get clear to yourself who you really are, what's really important to you. And it will lower your stress, because then you know what to do. Okay, now this is a rich subject, and I'm happy to have the time for it. We have until 11:45. What can I say? I have a plane to catch. Yeah, but we're using the time, and it's very important to me. My priority is that you should be happy that you came here this morning, that you got something. If only a reminder. Giving headspace. You can think about how you feel or how the other person feels, but you can't do both at the same time. I have to decide, am I going to think now about how I feel, or am I going to think about how you feel? And once I've made that decision, I'm not stressed out anymore. Right now, how I feel doesn't matter. Right now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean it never matters. Okay? You know, I teach counseling to people who are going abroad, and, you know, repressing emotions. When do we repress emotions? When the person is clearly bigger and stronger and volatile, repressing emotions. Yeah? And if it's going to end, you're on an airplane flight, it's going to end. Repress your emotions. But most of the time, you don't repress your emotions. But that doesn't mean you have to always say what you're feeling now. So, you will lower your own stress and other people's stress by saying to yourself, right now, remember we define peace of mind as listening to one voice. Now, that voice sometimes needs to be yours. But you have to choose which voice. It can't be both. Because if you listen to two voices at the same time, you're going to get stressed out. My mother's not feeling well. I have to take the child to a doctor in 2 hours. Shabbos hasn't been started. And he's coming home and telling me, like, what kind of day he had at work. He's coming home, my son is complaining to me what his teacher did. Yeah? So I have, on one hand, I'm really focused, look, I really have to get to make this doctor's appointment. You know, I really have to put the roast in the oven. And those are voices inside of me that talk to me that I need to listen to. I can listen to that voice and say, you know, Johnny, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I need to put the roast in the oven. Or you could say, okay, for 10 minutes, I'm not going to worry about the roast. I'm going to think, hear what you have to say. Yeah. But you can choose which one, but you can't do both. You can't be thinking about your doctor's appointment when I can't be thinking about my airplane or the things I need to do between now and when I must leave for the airport. Right now I'm talking to you. And that's very important. And I only brought it as an example, it's not laying on my mind. So you can think about how you feel or how someone else's feels, but if you try to do both at the same time, you're going to be stressed out. Because it's the same thing. It's the competing, you know, which voice do I listen to? That's stress. Men need to be fed. You will lower the stress in your house if you understand. I don't know what that means, but if you understand that man has a need to be fed. And this is technical, it's not emotional, and you have to plan your day in such a way. I have no idea whether I have a kosher meal on the 11 and a half hour flight that's ahead of me. Yeah? You know something? I will plan food, or actually, Mrs. Goldberg will plan food for me, which she has. Do you know what this means? Oh, that's you.
It's me.
Okay.
I think I
have to put something. It's okay. Okay. He will share, whoever it is. I've given permission to have this recopied, especially to participants. Okay. So if your priority is other things than his mood, so then you won't think about feeding him. You'll think about other things first. But if it's important to have a husband who's sane, so you have to work it out. Some husbands can be trained to take food, and they don't mind. Just like I bother the seminary students when I use the term high-maintenance woman. I say to Bachrim, you have a choice, you can marry a high-maintenance girl or a low-maintenance girl. Once you marry her, then you have to maintain her. Yeah? They don't like that terminology, high-maintenance girl. Yeah? But there is such thing. Well, you know something, there's a high-maintenance man also. Sometimes it's expressed in food, sometimes it's expressed in other things. Some men don't care. But if it's a priority in your house that there should not be stress, then you have to bear that in mind. Men as being learning disabled, we mentioned this yesterday. I used to tell my seminary students, not all men are evil, but they're all dumb. But since they took me too literally, they're just all learning disabled. Meaning they need to be taught how to communicate. They need to be taught how to listen. They need to be taught. So what? But that's, you know, that's the way it is. So you have to teach them. You know, as a bacha for 3 years, I didn't use a knife or a fork. Only a spoon. We were in an orphanage where the kids used to stab each other. And therefore all knives and forks were confiscated, and they only used spoons. So the joke was that, you know, when a bachur would get married, his wife would have to teach him how to use a knife and a fork again. You understand? I didn't have a knife and a fork for 3 years. People need to be taught things. That's okay. I came back to Israel after 13 months in America in 1976-77 school year. The first day back, I was almost killed. I thought that the guy was going to stop in the pedestrian crosswalk. I forgot that I was back in Israel. You have to be careful. That's neither good nor bad. It's just the reality. That's how people drive. So, you need to be taught. Okay, number three is the same for men. Eight? Oh, I know what happened. Number eight. Oh, that's what happened. Number eight. I downloaded and then changed. See? Seven is the same. Eight, I just wrote down sore throat, source of stress for men. I didn't go into it. I said everything here, there's volumes over here, but it's all in invisible ink. But for women, yeah, it needs to be spelled out more. Okay? So that's why it's eight. Okay? But stress is a source of marital discord. There are three types of reasons why there will be stress in the marriage. You know, they say, a good question is half an answer. She'elat chacham chatzi tshuva. So when you know where something is coming from, then you know what to do. You also know, can anything be done about it? But try as much as you can to isolate, like, where is this noise coming from? And I believe, I don't know, I never read a book on marriage counseling. I don't know anything about marriage counseling from a professional. I've been teaching this for 20 years, and every year, it's a two-year program. 1 year is me, and 1 year is a psychologist. We have never disagreed on anything. He just retired this year. We finally met after 18 years at a wedding. We never disagreed on anything. And they tried as hard as they could to get to make, you know, disagreements. So, what I'm telling you is not from a book. But it's plain common sense and Torah. One is this stress that's intrinsic to the relationship. Some people are tidy, fastidious, they're neat. And some people are not. Some people are on time. I was picked up this morning at 20 to 9 to be here at 9:15. Huh? Now, I had to speak to a boy who's getting married with the wedding I'm going to on Monday. I had to speak to him for 10 minutes. So I had that space. We left at 8:45, 8:50. There's plenty of time to get here, especially on a Sunday morning. I got here about 10 minutes early. That's my nature. My father used to say, this is a quote, I'd rather wait for somebody than have someone wait for me. Sometimes you're married to someone who's Jewish. You know, I still believe the wedding invitations about what time the chuppah is going to be. Which, that's a pathology already. That's the way it is. Now, my wife's not a late person. But she's not like, you know, when someone says to me, I need you for 2 minutes. Do you know, I still believe them. I still believe, oh, 2 minutes I have. And I believe them, it's going to be 2 minutes. It's almost never 2 minutes. So it's a nature. There are people who are verbose. Someone says to me, at this point in time, why don't you just say now? At this point in time, there are people who are very long-winded, and they totally get something out. There are some people, that's their nature. Some people would just like to cut to the chase. That's intrinsic to the relationship, and you have to talk about it. Excuse me, you have to communicate. We're coming from different places. Sometimes stress comes from outside situational factors, like health, finances, in-laws. These are outside stresses. Identify it as an outside stress. Now the question, what we can do about it? We're all upset with each other, but like, wait a minute. Is this us or is it not us? And from experiences, previous to the marriage, youth, other relationships, it's a thing we call baggage. People come in with attitudes, fears, opinions that are based on the things that they lived on until then. Isolated, that's where it's coming from. Okay, now I want to take number four, which here appears as number eight. I want to talk about this a little more. And we will have time for questions. If not, my first name is Rabbi, I can keep talking. Okay? Children is a source of strength, stress. Differentiating these stresses that are physically oriented. Yeah. You're exhausted. You're pregnant. The kid is exhausted. There's a physical reasons why they're stressed. There are certain diseases, certain conditions that cause stress or cause depression, such as mononucleosis. It brings a person's emotional state down. It's not just physical. That's why whenever you have someone or yourselves has an emotional problem, you have to check out and exclude first the physical side. Because if a person has a physical disorder, that includes a chemical imbalance. If someone is bipolar, you have to give them medicine. It's like you talk till you're blue in the face. It doesn't help. So sometimes stresses are physical. Identify it. Now, if there's nothing you can do about it, but it's less stressful when you know where the stress is coming from. Often, if you know where it's coming from, so sleep a little more, eat a little better. These things are never all or nothing. You can lower stress 10% is an achievement. There's stress that's not related to the children. It can be financial, marital, or emotional. There are other things. It's not the child. It's not you. And that's redeeming in the sense of, I have a good kid. It's just in this situation, if you've moved homes 4 times in 5 years, and change schools 3 times if your husband is a chaplain in the army, which is fine, you can be a chaplain, but understand that there's going to be a built-in instability in this child. He keeps changing continents, which means in your home, you have to work harder at your home being a core entity, a self-contained world. If you're going to live outside of a major Jewish community, maybe even in a major Jewish community, but for sure outside of one, your home is a place, it's a multi-purpose area. It's a recreational, it's a community center, it's an entertainment center, your home is everything. It's not just a place to put your head. In other societies where, he has friends all down the block, so then it's not going to be as much. He has a school. I know of a situation where someone had a severe medical problem and they had to go to experimental help, and they had to move to the mid-United States, not near anything which we would call Jewish. Okay? So this woman, they asked me about bringing the family. He had a choice of flying back and forth a couple of times a year, or should the family move there? And since this woman was gifted at, was herself a former elementary school teacher, gifted woman, the whole family moved. And it was an amazing bonding experience. So they missed out on being in Jerusalem. He had contact with someone, had contact with their Rebbe once a week, whatever. But when they're in, let's say, for instance, Nebraska, so then, the home is a different place, and you have to address it like that. I came into a home once where a kid had severe peanut allergy. I had a tub of peanut butter with me. Yeah, I didn't know. Well, in Israel, a few years ago, so that was a thing to bring. Yeah, for some reason. If you can isolate the problem, so then things become technical. It's very, very important that problems are demoted from being emotional and make them technical. And if it's not related to the children, it's financial. It's marital. It's we can't afford this. So, then you have to compensate. But the point is, knowing what to do will lower the stress in any situation. Why? Because I have a focus. Remember we defined yesterday peace of mind and is the ability to focus. It's related to the ability to focus. A person who has training. What does training mean? Do something so many times. It can be a very stressful situation, but the person's not stressed out. They know what to do. 4C. That is caused by the similar or different nature of the child vis-a-vis the mother. Your kid may be the same as you, and therefore you have no tolerance for her. The kid may be different than you, and you have no tolerance, and therefore you don't understand him, and you keep misreading him. Stop and figure out what to do. The person is different. There's a person I've been close to for 15 years. He's a very successful mashgiach in Israeli yeshivas. He's an American. See, he told me once that he'll sometimes call over a very successful man. He'll call over a bacha and say, "What do you think?" Because he's not Israeli. He doesn't know fully how these people think. Therefore, he'll call over a bacha and say, "What do you think?" People are different. So therefore, I need to... I was once presented with a question in one of the Israeli yeshivas I was in about a marriage that was about to break up over a shidduch. An engagement was about to be broken over disagreement on how much to spend per plate at the wedding. So I said to them, "I don't understand you. I have no idea where you're coming from. I can't help you." I mean, I don't understand. I mean, how could that be a reason to break up an engagement? But it's obvious. It's happening. It's happening. So I don't. Either you inform me, you fill me in, or you go to someone else who can understand you. You have a child who's different than you. You know something? You have homework to do. I tell people who have special needs kids, whether special needs physically or special needs emotionally or special needs educationally, to become a very well-informed layman about that. This is one of the great blessings of the internet. Right? And I refer you to Mrs. Mendelson to help find it. You can learn about almost anything on a layman level. You know, when your kid has a certain disorder and they behave a certain way, I know, that's normal. I'm expecting that to happen. Oh, this is what we're supposed to do when that happens. There are kids who have, you know, children with epilepsy. They're not doctors, but they know how to recognize the signs of a fit, know how to predict it, know how to identify it, know what to do when it happens. I mean, you have to take the kid to a hospital, I presume, but I don't know. Baruch Hashem, I don't know. So he has a condition. Become an expert in that condition. It lowers the stress. You can't practice, because you go to jail if you practice. Yeah? But you can become enough of an expert to know what to do in an emergency. And therefore, you can learn CPR. There's things you can do if you have a child who's asthmatic. Okay? You can learn things. Okay. 4D, another source of stress that has to do with children, is feeling judged by the husband or yourself for perceived lack of success with the children, or comparing your children to those of others. This will cause stress. I want to translate what feeling judged means. Okay, it's important to me to try and define words or set them out very clearly what I mean when I use those words. Feeling judged means that you are now extrapolating me as a human being totally based on how I'm doing in this. Okay, is that clear? My wife has given up on me fixing anything in the house. There's cabinet doors hanging by one hinge and then by no hinges. and dripping faucets. Now, there are two possibilities. Either they're just not good at fixing things, and maybe I should try and do something about it. Or you're just no good. You are irresponsible. You're inconsiderate. Don't you see what the kitchen looks like? Judged means I define who you are in general as a person based on your behavior in something specific. That's what judged means. At least that's how I'm using it. What Mr. Webster would say, don't know, but right now I'm talking to you, and that's how I use the word. If that's true, and that's going to cause stress. A kid who's a perfectionist. So some kids who are perfectionists are misdiagnosed as being lazy. They're not lazy. They're just afraid to do anything and don't want to do anything because they may not be perfect. So you have to find out, is it late? If it's laziness, that's one thing. If it's perfectionism, it's something else. It has a different approach. So, but the point is, you're a lazy person. It doesn't mean that you're no good, that you're evil, that you're all it means is that you're lazy. So now the question is, it becomes tough. I cannot express this to you too much, in that problems are technical and not emotional. Your worthiness as a human being doesn't come into question because you're not good at something. That's what judged means. So if a woman or husband feels judged by a wife or a husband based on her particular performance in a specific area of life, that's going to cause stress. But if you're able to identify it and say, oh, that's what's happening. So, you know, Danny, do you really think that I'm no good? Because I can't make pancakes. Or because I'm really not interacting well with this kid. Maybe there's a reason. Let's try and figure out what. You think I hate the child? You think I'm stupid? But what do we do about it? It becomes it lowers stress. Why? Because it gives me a path. When something is technical, it gives me a road to follow rather than become global and say, oh, I'm this, it'll always be this way, I'm no good, I'm incompetent, it'll always be that way, so then what am I going to do? And you get stressed out. So if you feel judged by your husband, there's two possibilities. Either you're wrong, he's not judging you, or you're right, and he is judging you. Okay, it could be sometimes he's and sometimes he's not, but then it's one or the other. So you have to figure out, why does he feel that way? What can you do about it? But it's technical. Are you judge yourself? How many mothers, you have to tell them you're a good mother. Child has a problem. I mean, what did I do wrong? Where was my mistake? Wait a minute. Okay, so you made a mistake. Let's say you made a mistake. So now, what can we do about it? And if there's nothing you can do about it, you know something? That's life. It's built in that we make mistakes, but it doesn't mean that your child is hopeless, that you're hopeless, because that's going to cause stress. Why? Because hopelessness means there's nothing you can do about it. Once there's nothing you can do about it, that's going to cause stress. So lower stress by figuring out now what can I do about it, as specific as possible. This is when you understand your priorities, you understand your definition of success, you understand what your function is, so then you know what to do. I have a sibling who's intermarrying, for instance. What's my function? Is my function to talk her out of it? Probably not going to be able to talk her out of it. Is my function to make it clear to her no matter what? And no matter what is no matter what. Is that my function? If that's your function, then you go in there and you give it to her. But maybe your function is to keep the lines of communication open. She knows you disapprove, but you're still my sister. If that's your function, so then it requires a different MO, a different modus operandi. Once you know what to do, because it's clear to you what your definition of success is, short-term goals as well. So then, once I know what to do, I'm not stressed out. I mean, doctors see people, you know, fainting all the time, so they don't get stressed out because they know what to do. Or comparing your children to those of others. That's a big no-no, comparing. Because it's not you. And you're not them. How do I get you off of it? How do I get somebody off of comparing? Okay. Since I can't get you completely stop comparing yourself to someone else, right? Just like criticalness. What's criticalness? Noticing negative details. So I can't stop you from noticing negative details because you're going to keep doing it. So maybe notice positive details also. Okay? Well, comparing. And you see, this lady has real success with her kids. And, okay? What does she do that I can adopt? I know people who had very successful transitions to Israel with older kids. They spent many thousands of dollars coming for years to Israel for an extended vacation from June to August. They put their kids in schools for 2 months, for 3 years. Yeah, they had a home in Israel. They had heavy tutoring. And by the time their kids, by the time they moved to Israel, so the kids were half Israeli. And it was smooth-ish. Okay? But what about a person who can't do that? They can't spend 3 months every year in Israel with all that entails. So then you can't compare, you have no, it's wrong, stupid, evil to compare yourself to that person. You understand? Comparing, I'll let you compare. I'll let you compare because I can't stop you from comparing. But I'll let you compare within a very well-defined circle. And that's, is there something that person does that's shaykh to me that I also can do? That you can compare. And if you're not doing it, so start doing it. So start doing it. But other kinds of comparing. It's the bottom line that counts. You know, is guilt a bad thing or a good thing? Guilt is a good thing if it produces energy, if it produces action. It's a bad thing if it produces paralysis. The right medicine was the wrong medicine if it produces a negative result. For this person, it was wrong. So you're comparing, I'll let you compare as long as it produces energy. Once it stops producing energy, then you have to stop. But I have to give you a little opening. Because if I don't give you an opening on how to compare, so then you're just going to do it, then it'd be negative. Are there any questions? Yes?
For me, I think stress is defined as being overwhelmed sometimes. I've got, the other day, I had 24 cars were due on my boss's desk. I had a paper that was due that night. I have extra car bills due. There's just so many things that have to be accomplished yesterday. And I just can't get to them all.
Something you can't do shouldn't produce stress because you can't do it.
Even though there's an expectation from somebody else that it has to be done.
There's a difference between something that happens once in a while and a life situation. If you're in a life situation where you have to do more things than you can do, so then it's, you know, that's like doing better than your best. You have to do better than your best. That's the formula for insanity. So what you need to do in such a case is, what do I need to do now? Something's going to slide. Something won't get it done. And someone's going to be upset with me. Yeah? But, okay, but what do I need to do now? Because if you don't do that, then you won't do anything. At least you do some things. Based on your priorities, based on your function, you have to...
Let's say that, in essence, the progress is still not done.
The progress is still not done? Okay. But again, stress is, when you felt overwhelmed, it's because you didn't know what to do. Once I know what to do, a person has 2 kids to pull out of the ocean, and he can only save one. Yeah? So they're going to be stressed out. Why? Because they don't know what to do.
But let's say you knew what to do, so you wouldn't be stressed. You might be sad. You might be in pain. Yeah? But you'll know what to do. In that case, I have no idea how to advise you on what to do. So it's an extreme case, but based on your priorities, based on what your function is, yesterday we described a home as a Beis Medrash for Chesed, as a study house of kindliness. So that's what it is. So then your measure of success is based on that. You set an atmosphere in a home. A woman sets an atmosphere in a home. Therefore, is it a greater priority to have a delicious Shabbos or an unstressed at home? They're both good things. And that's not for me to tell you which is more important. Maybe you want your child to look forward to Shabbos because he always gets his, you know, his stuff. You know, stuff he likes. And it causes stress, so it causes stress. Yeah? A woman wants to become a neurosurgeon. She has to pay a price. Not just a monetary price. It's not for me to say, is she right or is she wrong? But once you've made your decision, it's clear to you, so there's no stress anymore. Anything else? Yes?
How do you deal with toddlers? And you were talking yesterday about how toddlers, when they say no, they're trying to be like very assert themselves. My toddler is wrecking my entire house. Like, he dumps the trash multiple times, and he bites me. It's like almost like a franticness is like now overwhelming the house.
Don't try and solve everything at once. It's the same thing. Push all those competing voices out of the way and say, right now I want to take care of this. I would suggest that it's the biting or kicking you, something like that. The other things, put your garbage up high, pack the books in the bookcase tight, everything in your house should be plastic. Try and prevent things, but that you're not up to there yet. Yeah. I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it in this venue, mentioned in the last class, I got a shiloh from someone who lived in a different, not in Los Angeles, a different city, near here. Should he make his kids keep Kol of Yisrael? Now, Kol of Yisrael might have, you know, I'm not going to get into it, it's important, not important, that's not our subject. But you can't have your child, a four-year-old kid, keep Kol of Yisrael. Because everyone's eating Hershey Kisses and eating Carvel ice cream, and that kid has to sit there and not indulge. That's not the front lines. It's like the Chazon Ish told people who complained to him, how could you support schools who teach in Ivrit? It's a Zionist language. Everything has to be in Yiddish. So it's not the front lines anymore. Yeah, it's not the front lines anymore. Now, Yiddish is not the issue now. Therefore, teach in Ivrit. Teach in English. So you have to know what the front lines are. But whatever, you sit down with your husband, you decide what the front lines are, what's for the benefit of that child, and one thing at a time. Yes?
If you hire a house for, you know, that's what she does, but when doesn't that come in teaching children to have
there's always things that children can do. Household help should be for things that are physically difficult and take a long time. That frees you up to do more important things, or it frees you up to do things you otherwise wouldn't have had time to do. Okay? But it doesn't mean that there aren't things you need to do. I had children in Johannesburg for a number of years. So they would not let their help take care of their children. There was washing and cleaning and all kinds of things that the help did. My child, I don't think they even let the help diaper a child, which is, you know, maybe that's going too far. Yeah? But the point is that my daughter-in-law felt any personal interaction with my child I want to have. But she's able to do that because all the other things that the person's taking care of, folding laundry, well, either that's drudgery and you don't have time for it, or maybe your child can fold laundry with you. There's always what to do. A child should learn to do things. Even though theoretically you could have Juanita take care of everything, you don't. Because there's things that the child has to learn how to do. Okay. Thank you very much. I hope you're coming.
I was walking by the house this morning.